now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
And welcome to episode 170 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. We are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of TooManyThingsToList.com, which is my personal Tumblr of assortedness. And with me, we have Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Welcome.
Well, hello there.
And this week, Tanya Higgins is out. Mentioned last week, her uncle had died, and so she's at his funeral today. So condolences for Tanya, of course. And we hope to have you back on the next episode of the Webcomic Beacon. This week, I'm still trying to figure out how I'm supposed to name this particular episode, the topic in particular that we're going to be discussing. And hopefully by the end of this episode, we'll have a decision on what precisely to call it, but I was going to be calling it transgender webcomics or gender identity webcomics. And I have three guests with me today. And of course, my mind is blanking on everyone's... Oh, wait, I remember them now. We have... Christine Smith with us on the show, and she does two webcomics that I know of, which The Princess and Eve's Apple.
That's correct. Those are my two comics.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
And we also have Evelyn Poor. Is that the right name I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the right one.
Okay. Never know with Skype names. It's like, it's whatever, but we have Evelyn Poor, who does a comic called Trans Girl Diaries. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
No problem. Thanks for coming. And we also have Sam Orchard of Lobster Tales, correct?
Rooster Tales.
Yeah, I think I called it Rooster Tales at one point, but...
Rooster Tales, that's it.
Wait, is it Rooster Tales or Lobster Tales?
It's Rooster Tales.
Oh, darn it, then I called it... Ah!
Is that a pun on cocktails? I just gotta ask, is that a pun on cocktails?
Yeah, a little bit. It just came from the original comic that I did called Poultry Tales.
Oh, okay.
And I just went from there. And roosters, cocks, it was all... related.
All right.
I'm a bit obsessed.
Well, let's see here. We're going to start by going into introducing our guests a little bit more and talking about their comics in particular. Christine, actually, I have found you through The Princess, and then apparently you had this other comic. It's like, oh, okay. So you have these two webcomics, and tell us a bit about The Princess.
Well, the princess is about a very young child who would we'd call transgender girl. She, you know, male assigned at birth, what would be considered male anatomy, but she is asserting herself and living in the world as much as she can as a little girl. She has some supportive friends. She has some bullies. Her dad is very much on board with supporting her, and her mother is not. And it's a lighthearted, humorous, serial kind of strip. Usually one strip leads into the next. There are some serious moments, But mostly I try to keep the tone light and optimistic.
Okay. And, yeah, you got an assortment of characters, and it's like you almost got anything and everything that could possibly happen is happening as far as, I mean, you have I guess, which is the princess's best friend right now is, I forget her name, but she has her biological parents had divorced, and then is it like she has two gay fathers and two lesbian mothers? Is that what it is? Separate families like mm-hmm. that?
Yes, her name's Irma. She has two gay dads and two lesbian moms, and they don't all live together, but they're all, you know, get along and are good friends. So she has a surplus of parents.
A surplus.
Whereas Sarah, in counterpoint, her parents are divorced and they don't get along per se. And they're not necessarily as supportive as Irma's parents are. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a contrast.
Right. And you have the one boy kid, which, yeah, I guess you mentioned him as the bully, but also it's kind of like a weird, it's a weird situation because they kind of get along but not get along at the same time, but there might be more, sort of. So it's interesting to see, and he comes from, I would say, probably a broken home.
Mm-hmm. Broken, abusive. I don't try to get too into the abuse, but right. You saw his mom slap him once.
Right, right.
And it's the dynamic of what happens when a young boy has a crush, which is to say that he gives her hell. And that's part of where the bullying comes in. And also he's very confused because Sarah, up until, you know, the beginning of the strip, had been a boy that he knew. And now she's a girl that, as he sees her, and he's starting to have a crush on her, which mm-hmm. is confusing him, making him wonder what that means about himself. And he's reacting basically by picking on her as much as he can figure out.
Right.
But at the same time, you do see them as friends. You know, they play together. They form a little band together. So yeah, it's kind of friends, kind of bully, kind of this, kind of that.
And you have this comic called Eve's Apple, which I want. Do you have? Is this in the same universe, or is this in the future, or is it? They seem somewhat related. At least one character seems to be in both.
Yes, actually, Eve's Apple started first. And then I've been hearing stories in the media about young transgender children. So the character Lucy, I had her niece come over, and that niece was Sarah. And from that, I spun off into the princess.
Okay.
So that's how that happened. And Lucy is... Lucy is a lesbian, kind of butchy, and she definitely is the common character between the two strips.
Okay. And Eve's Apple deals with... tell us about Eve's Apple, then, if you may.
Okay. Eve's Apple is about an adult transgender woman and a lesbian demi-monde. She's the singer in a punk band. She has a lot of insecurities, but she has some good supportive friends, and she can overcome those insecurities at times. But her main conflict is with another character called Lilith. And Lilith is very butch, practically male presenting at all mm-hmm. times. And I guess this is a recurring theme. They have a lot of conflict and a lot of fighting. And that, of course, masks that Lilith is attracted to Eve. And she doesn't know what to do with it. She doesn't know what that means about her. So it's kind of a theme on both of my strips. What happens when you're attracted to a transgender person? How that affects how you see yourself, and whether or not you're threatened by that.
Right. And Lilith doesn't particularly see herself as male presenting. It's all like a facade for her. It's like, but she's not consciously thinking that. She's just like, this is how I'm. So there's like an additional internal conflict with self-identity. Am I grasping that right?
Most definitely, yes. She is blind to the gender identity things going on with her. She dresses exclusively in male clothes, but she doesn't see how that could be interpreted as transgender in any way, and she doesn't see how that might give her anything in common with Eve. It's kind of a blind spot for her, and it's kind of obvious to everyone else. But she has been, you know, said some very, very transphobic things before to Eve. And I think everyone in the strip is kind of looking at her in kind of a way as to say, you know, you're one to talk. Look at you. She's always wearing a suit and tie, fedora when she can. She basically looks like a Rat Pack member, you know. She's got that kind of style. So yeah, there's that conflict in self identity with her as well.
Mm. Well, cool. That one I don't think I've actually gotten around to actually bookmark that one. There's lots of comics that is like I see and it's like I forget to bookmark. But I have been following the Princess.
The Princess is the big one. That's the one I get most people following. Mm-hmm. Eve's Apple has a determined following, but it's much less than the Princess has.
Well, alrighty. And, you know, that's why I think you were the first one I was talking to about this, because I think you were the first person that I actually found, like a real trans comic versus we had an early episode where it was, like, the transmorph sort of thing, mm-hmm. where it's, like, magic or some unknown scientific blah, blah, blah. You know, like, the unrealistic, but, you know, still dealing a bit with that. But this is, like, actually real dealing with, you know, in the real trans issues and real people with reality a bit.
Absolutely.
And from there, I most recently actually snagged up a couple of people, and we have Evelyn of Trans Girl Diaries, which I don't remember how I found your comic. I really don't. But I remember just like, what is this? It's all over the place. It's like this. The cast of several is like, is this like a multi-personality sort of comic?
No, not really. I'm just, do whatever comes to mind, basically. If I feel like doing gag strips, I do gag strips. If I want to do, like, a story, I do stories.
Well, I meant more like a lot of the characters seem like they're, because I haven't read the whole thing, but it seems like a lot of the characters are, like, different facets of the same person. When they pop up. So I guess if you could go into explaining what is the Trans Girl Diaries?
Well, I started doing the comic, posting just random trans experience type strips on a forum. And people were like, oh, you know, I really like it. It's cool. So I started doing more. And at first I just kind of used it as an outlet to vent about things that are trans related that bothered me or whatever, and eventually it kind of evolved into me doing like a story, which didn't really turn out so well, and I put that in the archives, and at this point I'm just kind of draw really whatever comes to mind. I mean, I don't know if the characters all seem like one person, it could be that maybe I didn't develop it so well or something, but I just do, you know, I don't know how else to put it. I try not to limit myself on what I do other than like outright offending like other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'll kind of just draw whatever comes to mind and try to make it interesting, I guess, things that are trans related, you know.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. I'm trying to click back to where is it? The Homemaster Sensei little part. I wasn't sure if they were supposed to be slightly different aspects of the same person. even before that. And then you had a couple of very personal ones where, oh, I better not click back too far, otherwise audio will start playing. Yeah, it's a very expressive comic. There was like this one point where you had, I think, like two or three strips or pages where you actually had, you were narrating what was going on in the comic, so you got an audio as well as the visual with the text. So it's like, is it just honestly just like sort of like, I got this idea, let's do it.
I think what you're talking about is Naomi's story, which the whole chapter was called The Aftermath, which sort of takes place after what is now a non-canon time-traveling arc that I worked on.
Okay.
That didn't pan out so well. The narration was I didn't actually narrate it. Most of the audio for the first one was done by the character Naomi, who's also like an actual person, but that's like their character based off the real person. But that story was just related to a time travel arc that didn't pan out well. So that was kind of my way of trying to salvage it a little, I guess.
Okay.
But that's just kind of like a recent thing. And mostly it's gag strips that I do. I don't really try to do too much story-wise anymore, okay. I guess.
I think you were the one when I was talking to when I was trying to come up with a name for the show or something like that. You suggested I was bringing up questions of whether or not I guess what is offensive, accurate, or insensitive, and you were saying that I should be saying not just saying transgender, but trans issues is what you were bringing up.
I think what you said was transgendering, which is like not. It's not actually, I don't think I've actually heard, that's not like the proper way to use the term, I guess.
Okay.
I just said like transgendering is something I use kind of like in a sarcastic manner, like, because transgendering, I think what you refer to by that is transition, which is like.
Yeah, transition, process. The process, yeah.
Yeah, which, but transgendering is like not like the actual way to call it. but like I personally say transgendering when I'm being like sarcastic about trans things. I think that's what I was bringing up.
Yeah, because everyone can be people can be in obviously in different stages and be comfortable in a particular position and may not want to go more one way or the other. So yeah, it's a little inaccurate. So, and that's partly what we have this show for. To bring some of this up and talk about this sort of thing, because we've been hearing, I think like last month especially, or the month before, a lot of like serious issues with kids and in school, and you know, because kids are assholes to each other, and that's just one more thing that I can pick on them for that about, you know, because people suck. So all right. And before, we haven't forgot about Sam. We have Sam Orchard on the show from Rooster Tales. Rooster Tales, right?
Yep.
Okay. I don't know why I called it Lobster Tales. Maybe I was hungry. So, Sam, you have this comic called Rooster Tales, and it's a little bit more journal-y, I think I want to call it, than than the other two that we have on. We have a big mixed bag of comics here, and this was like, yeah, let's get them all on. So tell us a bit about your journal comic, or your Rooster Tales.
It's a journal comic that I started about just over a year ago, and it just came out of, I had been doing a political strip in my university magazine and wanted to actually tell my own story, so, I started drawing comics about my own life, I guess. Me and my partner are both transitioning from female to male, so that's kind of different. So Joe started testosterone at some point last year. So a lot of them is about his journey doing that and my journey being a partner alongside that. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I see. Yeah, like I was when I was trying to put this show together, I was trying to find, not to segregate anybody, but I was trying to find for a variety of content, if you will, what would be called an FTM is what I've been reading to yeah. say. I don't know if that's accurate to properly say.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did notice that, especially, well, at least in webcomics, there's, when you see transgendered characters, or even, like, especially with, like, the morph stuff, it's, a lot of times, it is male to female. You don't see a whole lot of female to male. And so, so that was interesting, because, you know, Rooster Tails is, like, the only one that I know of presently. So this comic stars you and your partner, which,
yeah. I like that we star, is it? That's cool.
So does he work with you, with comic, or is like, how do you, I mean, cause we haven't had a show on Journal Comics yet, so maybe you can give us a little bit of insight on, how accurate is this? Is it exaggerated in any way, or? It's like, how does it...
I mean, some of them are exaggerated, and, like, recently, because I've moved to Auckland, like, I use Joe as a character to talk about issues that have come up, and sometimes it's taken from actual conversations that we've had or conversations that I've had with other people. But lately I've been including a made-up superhero character called... the binary challenger. So I've been talking to that person instead of Joe, because I've moved up to Auckland and Joe's still down in Dunedin. But I guess I kind of take ideas and thoughts that I've had that I've been having for that week, and sometimes they're 100% accurate and sometimes they're very exaggerated, but generally they have elements of truth in them.
Mm-hmm. I think I have a lot of questions that might just refer to everybody now. Let's see here. Trying to think of what more specifically I could ask about your comic. Other than it's on a... No. Shoot! I lost it! Darn it! Okay. Darn it, I had this thought, and now it's gone. I'm sorry. Because we spent a lot of time on, like, the other comics, and it's like, I don't have any more questions for you. That wouldn't be, like, for everybody, you know what I'm saying? Because you got a Journal comic. It's fairly straightforward.
I've got one.
Okay, go ahead.
I suppose. I mean, we might as well cover this. Do you find, given the topic of the comics that you all do, that you get, I mean, I suppose it's a bit hard to measure, but do you get more negative response than, say, a regular comic might? I guess, you know, more trolls and that sort of thing?
You know, I have been so lucky in that I haven't had any trolls yet. Why that is, I don't know. It seems like because of the theme, I'd have a big target on me, and, you know, probably before the day's up now, I'll have 10 trolls, but...
Sorry.
You know, everyone's got to be the first. But no, usually I get very, very positive comments.
Hmm.
That's the same with me. I've never had any negative... stuff. I've had people kind of saying, oh, that's not really what I think, but I've been really amazed and impressed that the comments that come through are amazingly articulate and polite, and yeah, definitely no trolls.
Well, it kind of seems like
I think our comics they allow some people, you know, if I can say our people, they allow our people to see themselves reflected in a way that you really can't find anywhere else in the media, only on, you know, small projects like this on the internet. And I think because of that, it means a lot to people to see it. And so the people who tend to take the time to respond are people who are very happy and grateful for what we do.
Mm. It's a bit of an underserved genre, probably.
Absolutely.
I think... Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, unlike you two, I guess I get a lot more negative comments, like, here and there. When I mentioned earlier about how I have comics in the archive, most of the comics in the archive are the stuff that got the negative comments. I first found out about it, like, through my links, because people weren't really commenting on what they didn't like on the site. They were commenting on something awful. And I, went through it, and first I was kind of like, oh, why would they say this about my comic? But their negative comments was more about, I guess, the story, and it was very, drama, melodrama, and it was just, I got negative comments, but after that, I started improving. I don't get as much negative comments, except where I do kind of more controversial, like gag strips. That's where I tend to get negative comments. Mm-hmm. And
you tend to go very political and theoretical. So I can see where, you know, people might want to respond if they disagree.
Yeah. I try to avoid, like, certain kinds of topics. Like, I try not to get into, like, race or, like, actual politics, for example. I try to kind of not offend too many people, but keep it, like, trans-related. But it still gets responses, especially if people feel like I'm, like, on a negative streak or something. So I kind of have to balance that out.
I think we're going to have to take a quick break. I need to buy more Skype credit to have Sam on the show, so...
sorry.
No, that's quite all right. That's what it's here for. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. And now, back to our show.
All right, let's see here. That's what I was doing for like the past 5 minutes. Like, oh crap, it's using more than I thought. So, all right, let's see, verify. I gotta make sure.
So nice with you, Sam and Eve and Evelyn. I'm having so much fun.
Yeah. Very cool.
I wish I wish when we did this podcast, it wasn't at my comic wasn't at the point it is now. I wish it was at the gag strips, because I don't really like my stories so much as I guess the gag strips. People seem to like those better too. Like, I wish it was on this one right here today, so that people can open up my page and see that, instead of like Natalie being a weirdo.
All right, Evelyn, you just linked an image. Context.
Yeah, that's the comic that comes up tomorrow.
Okay.
So if I don't know if you can link it, but if you want, like, you know, whatever. Like, that's the kind of stuff I like to do most, and people seem to like that kind of thing better as well.
Okay. All right. Well,
oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
I don't know what CIS is.
It's cis. Huh? It's like the term, because people use, has like the opposite of trans. Cis usually refers to people who don't have like feelings that they want to transition or that they're in the wrong body or whatever. And I think it's used in... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's a term that I think came about mainly so we wouldn't have to define ourselves in the negative, you know? We wouldn't have to define anyone in the negative. So instead of saying non-transgender people or whatever, it's cisgender and transgender. So if you don't know what it means, you're probably cisgender.
Well,
yeah, it's generally a term that the trans community would use to describe people who are not trans.
Okay. Instead of using the word normal, I guess, which would be the reason for coming up with a not that word because it's of the connotations, etc.
Exactly.
Right, okay. But we're back, by the way. And fully stocked with Skype credit. All right. And all right. So
I can stay.
So I guess so I'm going to just start bringing up stuff and then we can discuss it, cuz that's how you learn things, by bringing up things. So one of the things that I used to, I guess I still kind of do, and we'll see after this, I went to a Catholic school. So I didn't know a lot of stuff that I knew when I got to college and met the real world and real people. The college I went to had
there
a great...
There were fewer nuns.
Yeah, well, yeah, there were fewer nuns, but...
There were fewer nuns in the real world.
There was also, like, a strong GLBT community there, and some of the coolest people that I knew were of that community as well, and I was in the pagan community there, because I went to Catholic school, so I wasn't Catholic anymore.
Right.
And a lot of the people that were in my niche or whatever were also GLBT. But as far as like as far as trans issues and transgendered persons, there wasn't really a whole lot there that I knew of. Though you certainly, there were a couple of cross-dressers. I guess, yeah, that would have been that one. Yeah, there was that one time at the Halloween thing, there was this girl I was digging, and it wasn't a girl. I used to bring up the idea of, as far as, like, attraction and what you're attracted to, and there's like, gender identity... and then sexual identity. So I was constantly separate sex and gender into two different things, one being the physical, one being what you actually feel you are, the one you identify with. So I'm not sure if there is that, if there is a separation that's as simple as just sex versus gender at all, or if I'm not sure. That's, I guess I'm presenting this. What do you think? I don't know.
I guess that sometimes, I know that that's something, like if you're doing an education talk, then I've heard it said it's like sex is between the legs and gender's between the ears.
Yeah.
Meaning the kind of physical differences to the how you identify.
Yeah.
But I guess for me... like, I have a man's body. It's just my man's body is a little bit different from other men. Like, my chest is a man's chest because it's on me and I'm a man. Even though it doesn't look like what society signifies it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because you're a man, it is a man's body. It's just not the typical, if I can use that word.
Yeah. I don't know. It gets complicated to have the distinction in that simplistic way, I think.
Mm.
It feels like it simplifies it too much. But then again, because it's such a trans issues can be so complicated, to simplify it down is great and helpful in some ways and also quite unhelpful.
Well, maybe as an introduction to the concept for some of those that are stuck in the very traditional ways, I should say, that can't quite wrap their brain around, what? I don't get it. Well, think of it like this. Maybe it's a good start to a conversation.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I don't know what the rest of you think. What is your experience?
I agree with you. I'm actually not the best person to go to for Trans 101 stuff because, I don't know. It's just not what I like to, it's not my forte. I think you nailed it though. So ringing endorsement for you.
Sam? Oh wait, who was talking? Sorry.
That was Sam talking.
Right.
Originally.
Okay. Evelyn.
I think the sex between the legs, gender between the ears is like simplest explanation, but it's all kind of things I'm still trying to figure out. Like, I think one of the things that makes, like, I mean, I don't think gender and sex is really so concrete and binary, and I think a lot of what makes a lot of things confusing is like how society kind of does separate it into, you know, right. A man is this and a woman is that. I think if that wasn't so much like seen as like just really separate things, things wouldn't be as confusing, I guess. So it's something I'm still trying to work out for myself, you know.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I'm just kind of, it's something I'm really lost in, but for the most part, I agree that that's like the easiest way to define it.
Let's see here. Well, yeah, when it comes to, you know, things like this, I mean, you can't help but bring in sexual identity and attraction. And I'm pretty sure that's a whole nother level of complexity as far as being attracted to a woman or versus a man, etc. And then, because there was this one point I was starting to think about this, is like, you know what, that does get very complex. And it's like, you know, I keep thinking back to the Kinsey scale for things like that. And then I started changing my thoughts of that into, well, it's not necessarily that, because a lot of people are attracted to, like, the physical. Oh, they really love that, or, you know, but there's also a lot of people that are attracted to personality overall, and there's been a couple of times in my life, I will admit, that I've been going out with a particular girl, and I've thought, you know, if they had a dick, I would, you know, that wouldn't change anything, sort of thing, because it's like, because there's things that you're attracted to, and I broke them down into masculine to feminine things, not male female things, but masculine feminine things, and that usually is still in accordance to what a society will consider masculine versus feminine. There's this test called the BEM test. I don't know what it stands for, but which basically will evaluate your personality to be masculine, feminine, or androgynous, I think. And I always scored a zero because they cancel each other out. So, but I still have problems with that particular, because it's like, how is that supposed to be feminine? It's like, that's not feminine anymore. But then again, that's, it's all reflexive of what society considers, so to speak. So I'm not even sure. So if any of you would like to talk about as far as attraction, how that may factor in or not, is I guess where I'm going with this. I'm sorry.
Well, that's a large theme of both of my strips.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, it's what does it mean when you are attracted as a cisgender person, which is to say, typically gendered. What does it mean when a cisgender person is attracted to a transgender person? This is my personal thoughts. I'm sure some people would not agree. I think once you toss gender diversity, transgender status, things like that into the mix, then the traditional basically the traditional orientations as we understand them kind of break down. They may not stand up because we understand gay as, you know, you're attracted to someone of the same sex, or, but then are the same gender. And then when those are not congruent, you know, when the sex and gender are not necessarily congruent, when they're transgendered, then you have to ask yourself, what does the term mean? What does, you know, gay or straight even mean at that point? Personally, I think that we're dealing with concepts and labels, and I think that it's a big mistake to look at them as an essentialist point of view. Mm-hmm. I think we have to acknowledge that orientations as we understand them are constructed, kind of agreed upon terms, and that maybe in time, as we get better understanding, we'll need better language to explain desire and to explain attraction in a world where we take transgender status as something that is not atypical, not odd or strange, or at least acknowledge its existence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think, again, it's something that you can use simple words labels. And labels.
Yeah.
Like, I would, my partner is F to M and I'm F to M, so I joke that we just both wanted to stay gay. but of course, I mean, Joe identifies as genderqueer, so there's no word for that, because gay, straight, bisexual implies just a binary. There's only two genders.
Right, so. Right.
And it infers that you're the sort of person who holds the desire has a stable gender identity, but also that the person who you're attracted to has a stable, fixed gender identity as well. And of course, in my experience of the real world, that doesn't hold up, I guess.
Right. Well, with probably
I just,
at the
I just the term queer.
Yep.
For my sexuality, I guess.
The labels are useful, but we have to understand that they are useful only in some situations, in that we constructed them, and that at some point we have to look beyond them.
Right.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, you could probably look at wherever homo and hetero come from and probably search through and try to find some sort of word that you can just stick in there and to start with, of course, because there are people that just, you know, I have to label it. Evelyn?
Yeah, I guess.
What do you think?
What I think? Pretty much the same thing. I think being, you know, heterosexual, homosexual, bi is somewhat flexible. I guess it depends how much people want to be flexible with them. Like, you know, if they think it's just, you know, like biological essentialism, like if you're born a man, then you're always a man and attraction revolves around that fact, or it's how you present yourself, or, you know, all depends how flexible you are, really, I guess. But I think it's just society. We just like to, you know, we kind of like everything to be kind of rigid, like,
wrapped up into a nice package.
Okay, straight. Yeah. So,
essentialism is our enemy.
If Tanya were on the show, she would she'd probably mention. Well, she says she calls herself pansexual, which is kind of, you know, whatever. If I'm attracted to you, it doesn't matter about all like these other things. It matters if I'm attracted to you or not. And I'm pretty sure a lot of it has to do with personality with her as well. But, you know, sometimes, you know, there are people which, You know, I love these bits. I go for those bits. This sort of aspect as well. But I think if anybody really just, I think for the most part, I think a lot of people, if they thought about it, they would find attractions at varying levels with all kinds of people, all kinds of physical slash mental states of whatever. You know, a lot of people, I think, are a little too following of the societal norms, so to speak. I think I'm saying all that right, but that's my thoughts personally.
No, I agree with you. I think you said it just right. My hope is that in maybe 100 years we'll look at the terms as we have them now as something quaint and antiquated. They're useful insofar as we accept gender and sex as congruent. But when you look at it and you look at people's desires, are you attracted to the sex? Are you attracted to the gender? I have a good friend who's very positive and supportive, but he's gay and he likes the typical male body, and that's just what he likes. It's I personally think that's just personal, and you know what you're attracted to is what you're attracted to, and it's not necessarily something you can change to suit any political agenda. You know, which is why so many people are attracted to taboos out there is at some point what tickles your gonads is something you can't just decide on by committee. And some people are attracted to the genitals. I think that most people, especially when it comes to longer term relationships, are more into the personality and more into the gender and more into who this person is and what our life will be like together than, you know, what'll happen in bed, you know,
right,
blah, blah, blah. But when we live in a society that looks at things as so binary, well, you just can't, you find it hard to separate the two.
Right.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but anybody else hearing like echoing?
No.
Do you have the Ustream open?
Yeah, if you're on vocal or Ustream, you might have to pause it or mute it.
Oh, I'm not on any, I'm just on Skype, but I keep hearing the voice echoing over and over again.
Oh,
it's kind of weird.
I'm sorry. I don't hear it. I don't know what to say. How about we drop you and call you back?
Okay.
Let's see here. Mark.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions?
Well, I guess it comes down to the brain being the sexiest organ you've got, doesn't it?
Hallelujah.
So I guess the bits don't necessarily matter. It strikes me that there's been more in the news, more in the media about transgender and equality and rights and things, and it just seems to me it's one genre that is a bit underserved at the moment. I've only really seen one other comic, and it hasn't updated in forever. And that's one that I did a review of when I was doing reviews on the Beacon. But the archive still exists. It's called Transmissions by Alex Ringholm.
Oh, right.
Transmissions.comicgenesis.com. That's an earlier one. Although I know there were others while he was making this in 2008, 2009. I don't know. But it still exists if you go look at it. It just hasn't updated in a billion years. Well, since 2009. Anyway, so a couple years.
Yeah, and there's Venus Envy as well, which has been going on for years and years now.
Is that still updating?
I think so, yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
and,
from what I see, I mean, it seems like a very irregular update, but it's definitely worth going to and reading through the archives of. It's a fun kind of high school story. You know, the trans girl in high school and all the drama. And, you know, some of the drama is way overblown and out of scale, but in an amusing way. So I definitely go look at that.
Yeah. And Chaos Comics by Tab Kempton is really incredible. It has, at the moment, the storyline is about an M to F character, and he's got a F to M character as well as a plethora of other queer characters. It's also a high school drama, but it's really amazing.
I really need to read that. Everyone recommends it to me, and I start reading it, and then something else comes up, so I'm going to consider that.
It's well worth it.
Have any of you read Mr. Normal?
No.
It's on, let me link it here, but it's pretty interesting. It's kind of like the kind of humor I do, I guess. Like, it's about a MTF, I guess, who's in denial of their transsexuality, so they're kind of like really blown and over the top, trying to be masculine and being religion and being like, oh, God wants me to stop all transsexuals from transitioning. I have to be, you know, Mr. Normal. And it's really interesting. It's worth a read.
Sounds like the Tomorrow People a little bit. They want to stop the Tomorrow People from evolving. They have to capture them.
Another good one, and I don't, it's by Joey Allison Sayers, who did the online strip Think Part. She also has some print comics. I think two of them are out, called Just So You Know. And those are about her transition. And they're really witty. She's a really witty cartoonist. I think she does work for Mad Magazine and other magazines. So if you can find those, they're definitely worth looking up.
Yeah, I just ordered them online yesterday.
Oh, you will love them. They're so much fun.
Oh, good. And the other one is Riot Nerd as well, by R.J. Edwards. And that's a comic, again, about kind of college-aged queer kids of different varieties. But there's an MTF character in there and a couple of genderqueer-ish characters as well.
Awesome.
Well, alrighty. We are actually getting down to our last segment here, so we're going to need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go over a little bit of news and wrap things up, but we'll be right back.
Oh,
That was Who Am I by Aquasotic, found at musicalley.com by Mevio. So let's see here. This has been episode 170. We got a little bit of news to go over before we continue here. Let's see. We have a couple of milestones to mention. Antisocial, or Social, at antisocial.com has hit 100 strips, so congratulations on that. Also, we have The Watcher of Yathogu, which is by Robin Sue. We've had her on the show when we talked about Lovecraftian webcomics. It's 1 year old today, so congratulations on that. And I think that's all we have for milestones this week. If you have a milestone, you can email webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Email is the best way for me to see it. If you tweet it to me, it's likely I will skip it because I'll forget. Email is the best chance to get a hold of me. So, let's see here. And of course, the big event that is coming up at the end of, I think, April? April to May, April, when is it? PenguinCon, yes, April 29th to May 1st is when most of the Webcomic Beacon staff is going to be there. So if you can get out to see us in Troy, Michigan, myself, Tanya, Mark, Adam, and Alex will for sure be there. I am pretty sure that Jules and Roscott will not be able to make it there, being that they're much farther away. California and Washington, D.C. Well, D.C.'s not that far. I should get him to come. Anyway, so that's PenguinCon, which will be our third year getting together, and we're going to have lots of fun, of course, and lots of webcomicers are going to be there, and they've had to pull us out of the dealer's room because there's just too many of us. So I guess we're going to be being down the big hall to the left if you remember the hotel. But anyway, so we have this show that we're doing right now, and we're talking about trans issues and transgendered people and issues and deals with and whatnot. Christine.
Yeah.
I know for sure that on your site, because you have a couple of drunk duck sites.
I do. And, well, I'm not going to apologize for it, because basically I don't know how to web design, but I'd like to get to a dedicated site of my own.
Right. I wasn't blaming you for that. I just wanted to bring up on there you have a bunch of links to this and that, and one of them is a helpline, and a show like talking about this wouldn't be nothing without some sort of, like, where people can go for additional information and help. So even after the show, if any of you have any resources that might be of interest, you can email me and I can put them in the show notes. Because, you know, some... Great. Yeah. Do you want out? All right, I guess that... Hello?
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 Yeah, I thought somebody was about to say something.
Oh, no, I just said, that's great.
Okay.
That's all I had to say.
Well, alrighty. Let's see here. Christine, since I know for sure you have a couple of links on your page already, do you want to go over some of those?
Okay, absolutely. One is for the Trevor Helpline, which is for LGBT and questioning youth. It's a suicide hotline. So certainly we've seen the huge toll taken on our youth from suicide recently, and they're very important project. And their number would be 866-4-U-TREVOR, T-R-E-V-O-R. So I'd encourage any child or youth who is feeling suicidal, who has suicidal ideation, or is just depressed and doesn't know what to do, to call that number. I'd also like to mention Gender Spectrum, which is www.genderspectrum.org. They are a great resource for families of transgender children. Really wonderful people, too. I can't can't plug them enough. And then the another one would be Trans Youth Family Allies. And that's a similar thing in that it advocates for children, families with transgender children and those children. It also has some staff, and one in particular, Kim Pearson, who does a lot of traveling around the country, doing very hands-on sort of advocacy, going to where children who are having trouble transitioning, having trouble with their schools or medical professionals are, and advocating for them. And that is imatyfa.org.
All right. We'll be getting all these in the show notes as well for those who are listening. Does anybody else have any other resources off the top of their heads?
There's a site called trueselves.com. It's not really like, it's just like trans exclusive, but they have a lot of useful resources if someone who's trans needs to find something that's local, that's like doctors or endocrinologists, things like that.
Yeah, that'd be, I hadn't even thought of that aspect. Going to the doctor when you're not of the traditional sort of everything else is like, I wonder what it's like. Actually, I have that question. What is it like going to your physician? How do your physicians tend to deal with some of this stuff?
Well, I'm pretty blessed. Part of it is that I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, so I'm able to find doctors who are supportive. But that's certainly not the way it is everywhere.
Right.
You hear some horror stories.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, agreed. I'm in New Zealand, so there's kind of just a small community of trans people, and it's really varied. Like where you live, I'm lucky enough at the moment to be in Auckland, where I can talk to other guys and ask which doctor they see to know that they're trans friendly and have understanding and knowledge of the area. But I know that other guys have had real difficulty as well finding doctors who actually even know what trans stuff is.
Oh boy.
In smaller towns and stuff.
So. Right, right.
There's a wonderful documentary that came out a couple of years ago called Southern Comfort, and it's about a gentleman who ended up dying of, I think, ovarian cancer, partly because he could not get a doctor to treat him.
Oh, wow.
People are bastards, that's all I gotta say. Evelyn, do you have any stories to share, or if you care to?
I have a doctor in Los Angeles that I go see. They're a trans specialist, so I don't have any problems with that.
Okay.
But it is, I've heard horror stories as well, people just gatekeeping or not giving hormones, things like that.
Well, yeah, and of course, if anybody listening to the show has links for resources, feel free to post them in the comments once the show is posted, because, you know, that is the other aspect of why I'm having this particular episode. You know, there can't be enough awareness for anything of that people are concerned about, and things that really matter to them, and I hope to add, you know, another search pop up and be like, okay, you can find this. Because, you know, a lot of times it's really bad when you have people that can't, that don't feel like they can, you know, have safe haven anywhere or find resources. And, because I've seen, not particularly of what we're talking about today, but in other aspects, I mean, it pops up. A lot of people have different problems and issues, and they need to know that there's support out there. And I think that is very important. Let's see here. Sam, you're in New Zealand. There's this thing I saw on your site, the Pacific and Asian Asia Regional Trans and Intersex Conference thing. Did you want to mention that?
Yeah, in Wellington, in I think it's about a week, actually.
Yep.
We're going to have the Asia-Pacific Out Games, and as part of that, we're having a special, I'm helping to organize a special day. We use the Māori term here, hui, which basically means meeting, where we've got about 70 people coming along who are trans-identified, intersex, or allies. And basically, it'll just be a place to share our stories and work out what's happening regionally. We've got people coming from as far away as Nepal, which is really, really exciting. But if you're in New Zealand and can make it to Wellington, by all means, come along. It'll be great. You can find the links to it on my blog.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a couple of entries back.
Alrighty. Well, I think we are at the end of the show right now. If anybody else has anything else to add? Nope.
Thank you.
Well, no problem. Well, thank you all for coming on the show. Again, we have Christine Smith. We'll get the links in the show, but you have a comic called The Princess and Eve's Apple, which are at Drunk Duck, which you can find. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been a delight.
No problem. And we also have Evelyn Poor of TransGirlDiaries.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Well, thank you very
Natalie
much for coming on the show.
Natalie wants me to say hi, so I'll say hi to her.
Hello. And well, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And we also have Sam Orchard of Rooster Tales, roostertales.wordpress.com. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
And of course, this has been Fess of TSIWebcomic.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
We'll see you all next time.
Tune in for more at WebcomicBeacon.com.
Are we still live?
Technically, but I'm not recording right now.
So if people are listening, then this is their one chance to hear. We could say something really controversial.
Good.
All right.
There'd be no evidence.
No one could trace it back.
I hate everything trans-related. Trans people are evil.
They're terrible. I hate them.
No, I'm not recording anything. Wait. I am recording.
Oh, no.
Oh.